very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through, where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us preview the ice dance event at the 2026 Winter Olympic Games. I'm not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes. I'm joined by Ashley Wagner, Adam Rippon, all three of us famously not ice dancers, famous ice dance fans.
Mm-hmm. Famous. Very famous.
Very infamous, famous. Even. Yeah. So
not a medal to be had among us in the ice dance event.
No, not even not even a senior B event, which is couldn't even muster that up.
No,
we got you.
Not an edge to be found here.
No, that's true. Adam and I actually famously tried a little dance lift in the middle of a show, and because it was a joint effort, because dance is about teamwork, almost broke my neck.
Yeah. Well, we almost broke our neck. And so basically the lift we needed to do was it's like about momentum. So Ashley had to put her hands on my hips and then she put her arms around my neck and I would spin around. And the momentum of Ashley's feet would pick her up in the air and she would just look like a princess.
Easy. Yeah.
And so we did this a few times.
Yeah. Sounding without like that's issue. How this is going to go.
And then, because the show must go on, which is you need to know that before I tell you the rest. The show must go on. Mm-hmm. And Ashley is in a Moulin Rouge dress. So she also believes the show must go on. So she put her hands on my hips and her arms around my neck and I started spinning.
I love that I have four arms.
How is that possible?
You described this twice and I have four arms.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Where just are your hands?
Just your hands are on the hips and my hands are around your neck? Where are they?
They weren't where they needed to be
back.
On the day.
Behind your back.
I think back. It's okay. Back, yeah. And on this particular day, his pants were always really silky, but on this day, they were silkier. Because it was we were in Japan in the summer. Humidity is a thing. Uh-huh. And all of my weight is on my hands, and they just go...
They slid off.
Next thing I know, the only thing keeping me alive is my chin on Adam's sternum.
And so Ashley was going, but we weren't done with the timing of the lift. So I kept spinning her around.
Well, the show must go on.
Well, but what's so funny is that we had a moment where it's when I finally put her down, she's like, and then she turns to the audience smiling.
Yeah, I spit up a full hairball and then present.
Yeah, and then we got off and then she yelled at me.
Yeah.
Well, because I come from a household where you save it for the car ride home.
Yeah.
And so the closest I could get was behind the curtain of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So and smile said, and bow, yell yeah. later.
Yeah, you yell don't later. Spin women from their neck. And I learned the hard way that day. Because I got yelled at.
So you really can trust our opinions on ice dance is the moral of that story. And we're glad that you're here to listen to whatever we're going to say. I will, I guess, on some of the other previews, I've done a little historical background. I won't be super detailed, but ice dance is the newest Olympic discipline amongst the figure skating disciplines. It joined the Olympics in the late 70s. And it is very different than the other three disciplines. The other three disciplines have things in common. Pairs and single skating all have, the jumps that most people recognize as the basic figure skating skill. Dancers are not doing jumps. They're doing lifts that are sort of similar to what pair lifts are. They're a little bit different. But dance is all about your edge quality, your skating skills, and sort of the artistry of your material and your creativity. So it's a lot of it. It's definitely the most subjective of the four disciplines. The ice dancers are probably the strongest foundational skaters, as in the ways that they can use their blades and create power with their skates. But they don't do some of the harder on your body athletic things that are like, you know, landing really hard on your joints kind of things that other skaters are doing. So we see ice dancers have longer careers, which will come into play in this preview. Historically has been a really strong discipline for Russia and the Soviet Union. But more recently, in the last 15, 20 years, has been pretty dominated by North American teams. Primarily Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer won 2 Olympic games out of the last 4. Merrill Davis and Charlie White from the U.S. won in 2014, which is the only time a U.S. team has won. But U.S. teams have been on the podium at the last 5 Olympic games, but they've only won gold 1 time, and that could change here. My overarching assessment of ice dance, and you guys tell me if you agree or disagree with this, that there's a close contest for gold between 2 teams, and there's a close contest for bronze between 3 teams.
I would agree.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So I think we'll start with the Americans, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, who Evan Bates is going to his 5th Olympic Games, and I did write down in this Google Doc that when he went to his first Olympic Games, TikTok by Kesha was the number 1 song on the Billboard Hot 100.
That's so important.
That's so scary.
TikTok, Evan, the app, did not exist. And by the way, Instagram, the app, did not exist.
Yeah. Oh, those were the days. Evan Bates
Pigeon?
Qualified.
What were you using then?
Smoke signals. Facebook. He qualified for his first Olympics at the first Olympics that Adam and I failed to qualify for. So Evan is
the first
an athlete
time.
The first time.
We both
Evan
have failed twice.
Evan has been competing since Adam and I. He's kind of like one of the last men standing from our generation of competitors, and Evan and Maddie are athletes that I often look at and I just wonder, like, oh my God, how are you still doing this?
100%. I think a lot of people are like amazed at the fact they're still doing this. Evan will be going to his 5th Olympics. This will be their 4th Olympics together because he had a different partner in 2010. But Maddie and Evan have been to 3 Olympics already together. They have not yet won an individual ice dance medal for themselves. In Pyeongchang, they fell in their free dance. It was very heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. They ended up finishing 9th.
4th. Oh, sorry.
And
no,
then
I'm
they
the
finished.
Last.
Yeah. And then they finished 4th at the most recent
Olympics.
I'm so
excited.
Yeah. No, they were like right off the podium at the most recent Olympics in Beijing. So they helped the U.S. win a team medal last Olympics. They won gold in the team event in Beijing, but they do not have an ice dance medal to themselves. And what else can we say about them? There's a Twitter account dedicated to Evan's longevity in the sport called
Evan Bates
Outlives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're married.
They are married. They got married 1.5 years ago.
They're one of the teams that Glitter and Gold followed. So I think for them, this is kind of their last hurrah, their last chance at going after an Olympic medal. They've said that themselves. So they're coming in as really like the main team to beat. And this season has kind of been shaken up a little bit by a few other teams. That being said, it's kind of like their medal to go and grab. And there's just a different intention this season. I feel like we're seeing them really put it all out there. They're taking some risks in their free dance. Maddie has this massive skirt that is really dramatic. It adds to this matador bull story that they're trying to portray. And every single one of us on this podcast is terrified that that skirt is going to get in the way when it counts most. So they're definitely playing some risks for the theatrics and the vibes. But so far this season, it's been drama-free in competition.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we've all watched Glitter and Gold. And so we've seen the drama of the skirt in practice. And you know, we've even been at events where we watched them fall with it during a practice. But, you know, so far, knock on wood, they have actually not been the team that's had any skirt issues. It's actually been another team who's also fighting for gold, who I think Sarah is probably going to talk about next.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're in an interesting situation, Maddie and Evan, because they so none of the teams from the Beijing podium are competing. There is a skater from the Beijing podium competing, but there are none of the teams are. And Maddie and Evan, as the fourth place team in Beijing, sort of slotted in to the top when those teams were no longer competing. And so Maddie and Evan have won three consecutive world titles. So they are the, you know, prohibitive favorite in theory, mm-hmm. entering Olympic season. But less than a year ago, one of the members of the gold medal winning partnership in Beijing, Guillaume Cizeron, announced that he was coming back with a new partner, Laurence Fournier-Boudry. So they have been, Laurence and Guillaume have skated together for less than a year, but they are both individually extremely strong skaters and immediately started having a lot of success and have been right there with Maddie and Evan, and have been scoring really, really close with them. To Adam's point, they had a skirt malfunction at the Grand Prix final, and they got second to Chalk and Bates there. I don't know. That was unfortunate because you don't really know what it means.
Right. It left a lot of questions for all of us because we don't know what kind of score they would have gotten in comparison to Maddie and Evan. So it's left the door even more open because we now still have no clear idea of what two mistake-free programs would shape
We're missing like. a big data point. Mm-hmm. This season, do they have the highest total?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
Coming in from the
French. Europeans.
From Europeans. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So Laurence and Guillaume just won the European title and that was the highest score we've seen so far this season.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of unknown. I do think it's really important to note in ice dance, any other discipline, you're going to see some movement between teams and individual skaters. When Sarah said that Maddie and Evan were fourth, and so when three teams kind of stepped away, they were slotted to take that top spot. That's really how dance works. They are competing the same elements. Really, it's are you getting your levels called? And falls are very rare in the sport. They do happen, but they're just not something that is as common. You're not expecting it to happen. When you see it, it's a big deal. And
it's
so we're talking about... It's catastrophic. We're talking about point values that are really close to each other, making a huge difference in the event. So really, the podium that you're seeing at the World Championships prior to an Olympic year is most likely going to be the podium that you're seeing on an Olympic stage. And that's just always how it's been. So the fact that we have Laurence and Guillaume now in the mix, this team that just kind of came out of nowhere a couple months ago and they're shaking it up. It's been really a huge wake-up call for the dance community. It's set everyone back at least a assumed place. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
the dance world's just been really shaken.
Yeah. And I think because of the way people stay in ice dance longer than the other disciplines. And in general, actually, like longevity in sports has improved in all sports and in every discipline of figure skating. We see people who are able to achieve at a high level for longer, but it's especially true in ice dance. And I do think there's a little bit of this, you know, this like injection of a new team is so unusual. And it's against all these teams that are very established, like
yes.
people in their 30s who have been mm-hmm. to three plus games in a lot of cases.
Sometimes five.
Sometimes five. So yeah, so it's been a really like fascinating like thing to watch. And the Laurence and Guillaume backstory is unusual. They Guillaume was partnered with a woman named Gabby Papadakis previously. They were on the last two Olympic podiums, one of the best teams we've ever seen. They won the most recent Olympics. They represented France. They never competed together after that season again. They thought about trying to come back and ultimately had sort of an acrimonious split, which has kind of played out publicly in the last few months. Gabby wrote a book and has publicly talked about some of the negative experiences that she had, both with Guillaume as a partner and with the Montreal school where they trained, and remind me to come back to the Montreal school. But Guillaume has, you know, accused her of defaming him and took legal action at a certain point. So it's been just like, that's been very messy. And Laurence formerly skated with her boyfriend, Nikolai Sorensen, who a couple of years ago, a young woman came forward and accused him of raping her a while back. And so he ultimately was banned from the sport by an oversight committee, which is it's a whole other thing that's still, I think, in ongoing appeals and everything. But the result for Laurence was she had a boyfriend, but not a dance partner. And so enter Guillaume, who also was split from his dance partner, and they teamed up, and they were both already very talented and in pretty good shape, which I think has helped them hit the ground running together. But that is sort of the backstory of these two becoming a team at this sort of, what is it, the 11th hour, people say? I almost said mm-hmm. the 9th hour, but it's the 11th, right?
Uh-huh. It's late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 11:30. Do you know where your kids are?
Yeah. Do you know where your ice dancers are? It's 11:30 yeah. p.m.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, Adam, you've explained this perfectly. There's kind of like a dark energy around them, and like the why behind this team. Obviously, you have to kind of observe them as skaters, and we're talking about them as skaters and what they're doing skating. But it is important to just have that kind of information as a backstory when you're trying to figure out like how you want to wrap your head around this event, because it is complicated. But we're talking about their skating here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also it's going to like, people are going to talk about it. And this is when they're like, people will try to tiptoe around like what this is and whatever. And what Sarah just laid out is like, that's the backstory.
That's what it is.
So now you know that backstory, and that's what people might be alluding to when they go like, they have an unconventional way of yeah. getting
it's
together.
It's a little complicated.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's or what if they're... you see sort of a post or a tweet or whatever, that's sort of shading them without saying why, if you sense that kind of energy, that is probably where it's coming from, is somebody has feelings about the backstory and not about their skating specifically. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
They're not coming in as like beloved
right.
in a big way, but they are insanely good.
Yeah, they're incredibly talented.
Yes.
And you know what, like, there's also, even if they did not have these backstories coming in, you know, there's, I think people get attached to the teams that stick around and are around the whole quad, right? And so everybody's like rooting for these other teams, or you know what I'm saying? And so I think it's hard sometimes to watch a team that hasn't been around just like insert itself and interrupt right. mm-hmm. what dance fans have been watching for several years. So I think that would be probably part of the equation, no matter what the backstory was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be really close. I think that probably Maddie and Evan have the advantage in the rhythm dance, and then Laurence and Guillaume have the advantage in the free dance. That's how I'm sort of reading I was going to say tea leaves, but it's really just looking at the scoring trends. Mm-hmm. And
tea leaves.
Which are tea leaves.
Which are yeah. tea leaves. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, will one of those gaps basically be bigger than the other is the question, if that's how they're going to score them. It's, you know, so I don't know who I think is going to win. Do you guys have a strong feeling one way or the other?
No.
I mean, a couple months ago, I would have said Maddie and Evan. But even watching Laurence and Guillaume kind of improve event by event by event, now I'm like, it is 50-50. It feels like it could go either way.
Yeah, it feels like flip a coin. It feels like we have to see exactly how they're going to skate on the day. It's incredibly close because, like you said, like this one team has been around. They've put in the work. They've been like so pretty consistent the past few years, 3-time and reigning world champions, and now this brand new team who, like we've said, very good, very talented, swoop in at the last moment, and like Ashley said, have just continued to make this steady upward climb that. We will have really no idea. And the Olympics is even a funnier thing because most likely we will see Evan and Maddie skate at least one time before the dance event in the team event. If not, they will do both segments. We have no idea. Yeah. We won't know until
the night
until that team event, right? So it's literally anybody's game.
Yeah, and the teams have completely different strengths too, which makes them like interesting to contrast. Like Maddie and Evan are really strong in the acrobatic lifts that they do, and in like performance quality. You know, Maddie in particular is just an extremely magnetic performer that kind of sucks you into what they're doing. And Laurence and Guillaume are going to do something, especially in the free dance, a lot more like muted, contemporary feeling. It's not so much about these like big moments of big highlight lifts. It's more like this like quiet, strong, incredible skating skills on the actual like blade level that they have. So shall we move on to the bronze medal conversation?
I think we need to.
Okay, so there are, in our minds, 3 contenders for the bronze medal. And all of this assumes that everybody skates well, right? Anything can happen if somebody falls and who knows, but this is assuming everyone skates well. There are 3 contenders for bronze here. Mm-hmm.
And based on what we've seen throughout the season, too. Like, this is just based on that.
Yep.
Tea leaves. Join our Patreon to hear Sarah read tea leaves.
You know what? I would do that, and it would not go well.
I'm just bringing it up. We're brainstorming.
Just thinking of Etsy witch shops that I can start. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Ashley talked about how a lot of times the last year's world podium is predictive of the Olympic podium. So at last year's world championships, Madison and Evan won, and the second place team was Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier from Canada. So in theory, you would think that, okay, if Guillaume and Laurence have kind of slotted themselves in above Piper and Paul, then Piper and Paul are your favorites for bronze. I'm going to talk a little about Piper and Paul, but I don't think it's as clear cut as they are the favorites for bronze anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we thought going into this season, and I think it's bronze is still an entirely possible result for them. Piper and Paul have had what I've written down in my notes as a bridesmaid career, which is to say that they spent a lot of time in the shadow of Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer in Canada. And then when Tessa and Scott were done, there were others that were still ahead of them. And in this quad, it's been not a domestic rival, but Madison and Evan who have been ahead of them for this whole quad. So they have had kind of this like, but at the same time, without maybe having all of the strongest results, they have probably had some of the material and the performances that have moved people the most, I think. Mm-hmm. They're, I would say, of the top 5 teams that we're going to talk about, they are the most unique and creative and most kind of like true to them. I don't want to say that nobody else is true to themselves, but they're true to themselves is a little more off the beaten path than other people's true to themselves, if that makes sense.
They're a bit more colorful and like there are wacky little weirdos in a good way. I think their content can be kind of polarizing.
Yeah.
And the people who love them so much. And then there also is like camp of people who I feel like Scott Moyer put this
I was just gonna
so
say
perfectly
he hit the nail on the head in the glitter and gold
when he was talking about how sometimes he felt like watching them, it's like you're not in on the joke. It feels like that sometimes. You're like, what am I not understanding?
Right. And he also says that sometimes you're just like, damn, I'm so in it. And it's so right. And it's just like, it sometimes can feel like it's too in the weeds where you're like, I don't know what you guys are doing. Or it's just like, just enough where it's like, we can all understand it and get our own interpretation of it.
Yeah. They can be really niche for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that their material this year is going to do well with an Olympic audience that hasn't watched all of those like weirdo programs. You know what I mean?
It's going to eat.
They're doing Supermodel by RuPaul in the rhythm dance, which I think is going to feel fun for a lot of people. I mean, us included. And they have brought back a program called Vincent, which is Starry Starry Night. Piper is wearing essentially the Van Gogh painting as a dress in their free dance. And they did that, I think, 7 years ago. And it is in a lot of ways a tribute to Piper's mom, who passed away 6 to 8 years ago, quite some time ago now, but they had originally done it right after she passed away, and they've brought it back for this season. Adam, I kind of want to let you talk about this program because it's a big favorite.
It's one of your favorites.
Yeah, I think it's actually one of like my favorite free dances of like all time, to be totally honest. I loved it the first time that they did it. And, you know, I grew up with Piper's sister, Alexi, her twin sister. And because Piper was always like she had a partner and was like not training. And Alexi, her sister, was a single skater. And so I just remember that like period of time when their mom was really sick. And I just remember that like that this program was getting made around the time that she was really sick. She never got to see it, and she passed away in that season. And I just think about all of the things that they've been through and that Piper's been through personally. She herself is a cancer survivor. Her mom passed away from brain cancer as well. And this program is just, there's just something where this is the like absolute epitome of what their skating is. Mm-hmm. They do really interesting lifts. They do interesting movements. If you think they're going to go left, they go right. It has me on the edge of my seat every single time I watch it. And I feel like I almost can't breathe for 4 minutes. Mm. Yeah. There's just something so special and so magical about this free dance to me. This is my favorite free dance of this season and one of my favorites of like all time. I just think it is magical. I think it is a masterpiece. Yeah. It's almost like...
It's like a Van Gogh.
Yes. It's almost like a Van Gogh. Like, you should be doing this at the Louvre, not at the Olympics.
Yeah.
But do it at the Olympics as well, please.
Yeah. Share it with the world and then go to the Louvre.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of cool too because they did it, I think... Correct me if I'm wrong, because you were in Beijing, Adam. They did it as their gala program after the Olympics in Beijing, I'm pretty sure. And what they did was they like had this cool lighting on the ice. The ice was lit up as the Van Gogh Starry Night painting.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so cool. So it's kind of full circle now that they are going to do it as a competitive program at the Olympics, too. Mm-hmm. And I just do have to say, and I know that you both have listened to me already say this via text message, but after watching Glitter and Gold, I feel like I have not been enough of a Piper and Paul stan as I should have been. And I want to issue a formal retraction of my attitude in some cases, not in all cases, but in some cases, because I was just like very, I was just... It was so great to see this like side of them in that documentary that I feel like we don't see a lot. And I've spoken to like, you know, when I worked on figure skating shows, like I've interviewed them and talked to them, and they still like that kudos to the documentary team because they got sides of them that I never saw. And
yeah,
it was just like, so, I mean, I hate to use the word humanizing about humans because obviously they've been human all along, but it is this sort of like you see into this more human side and less athlete side, right? And like, I just came away from watching that documentary being like, they need to win gold. Sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry. So,
I mean, they're so endearing. They have a very, you know, tug at your heartstrings kind of story. Mm-hmm. And they've always been there and they've always just been trying to push up and up and up. And there's always been resistance. And so, you know, it's kind of like we don't know much about what this season is to them in terms of their career. But it's like they finally are really almost to the top. And then here's another thing to kind of push them back again. So they're a team that we're all rooting for because they just deserve great things.
Yeah. There's you're right, Ashley. There just seems to always be something put in their way. And so
I'm sure they feel that way.
I'm sure they, I mean, right. Yeah. I mean, you know, from watching the documentary that they felt that way this season. So, and this like sort of will segue me a little bit to the next team, but Piper and Paul went to the Grand Prix final in December. As we've said on other previews, Grand Prix final is the biggest competition leading into the Olympics of the season. It's in December. It's the top six teams in the world and your placement there can be very important when you, you know, are leading into a games. And Piper and Paul, really surprisingly, were off the podium there in fourth. And they were really upset. And I think a lot of observers of that thought that the scoring was odd and that they didn't get the scores that they deserved. They certainly felt that way and were really vocal about it at the time. So we don't know what that means, right? Like we see Grand Prix final results flip at the Olympics all the time. So it, who knows? But the team that surprised them at the Grand Prix final and who got onto the podium over them was Lila Fear and Lewis Gibson from Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to introduce Lila and Lewis? I've been talking a lot.
I'll do it. I think you're doing a great job because I feel like now I'm getting like pumped up for the Olympics.
I will say one
getting
thing.
My dance refresher.
Yeah, I will say one thing and then I do want you to set them up, Adam. But the one thing I did want to say about Piper and Paul that I forgot to say, and it applies here too. The Montreal School, the Ice Dance Academy of Montreal, is the most powerful, largest ice dance school in the world by far. So Chalk and Bates and Fournier Boudreau-Cizeron both train there, the top two. Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier do not, which a lot of people believe has worked at a disadvantage to them because when you have a school that's as big as Montreal with as many good teams as Montreal, it's sort of like rising tides lift all boats, right? So like they have so many good teams that all of their teams benefit from favorable scoring. And so Lila and Lewis are a Montreal team. And just to give you a sense of it, I went through today, 13 of the 23 ice dance teams in Milan are from the Montreal school. That is more than half. It's insane.
It's that is insane. That is not normal. That is like that. And no other discipline is something like that even remotely true.
And there has not been an
or possible.
And there has not been an ice dance school before the Montreal school existed that had this level of dominance.
Yeah. No, it's the first and only of its kind to date.
Yeah. So Lila Fear, Lewis Gibson are in Montreal. They're from Great Britain. Adam, take it away.
So they are from Great Britain. And over the last few years, especially within this quad, we've seen them gain a lot of momentum results wise. I think even before that, they've always been really known in a way that Piper and Paul aren't afraid to do things that are sort of outside of the box and might be a little bit weird. Lila and Lewis do things that are outside of the box, but are really geared towards like mainstream audience appeal.
Yeah.
They will do something where they can guarantee that the audience is going to be clapping along. They can guarantee that people are going to be excited with the performance and the music. They've skated to Beyonce. They skate to the Spice Girls in this season. They're skating to like a whole Scottish theme this year, where
they had a Rocky program.
They had a Rocky program. Like, yes, they take steps outside of the box, but in a realm where they know that this will have main audience appeal. Mm-hmm. And so they aren't the strongest skaters, but like Evan and Maddie, the acrobatic skills, they do really well. Like, they can do those things well, and they've been very consistent. They very rarely make any minor errors, and very even more rarely make major errors.
Yeah.
Yep.
At the most recent European Championship, they made an error that looked kind of major, but it was actually minor because they kind of made it through the whole thing. And so they ended up being with another team, Sarah, we'll talk about probably next. So mm-hmm. they just had lost to another team, the Italians. But Lila and Lewis always show up prepared. They always show up completely well packaged. No matter how early in the season, it looks like they would be ready to skate at a World Championships or an Olympic Games. And that's always to their advantage. So, like, their consistency, their training level, that's the thing that's really gotten them this far. So I think Piper and Paul are better skaters? I do. And I think the majority of people in the ice dance world and the figure skating community believe that. But we also really respect the way that Lila and Lewis have just sort of stayed the path. They've chosen these themes. They've become a real audience favorite, fan favorite team.
Yeah.
And they've played the game well. They've played to their strengths. Mm-hmm. And they haven't given anyone an inch. When they've been given an inch, they've taken a mile.
Yep.
They are the team that's going to go viral at the Olympics without a
Spice Girls.
A Spice Girls.
Brooklyn Beckham is going to be in the audience and say, "Turn my mother off."
Enough. We're fighting. I can't listen to her anymore. Enough.
She danced at my wedding.
he's going to be pointing at Lila and Lewis doing whatever, like, crazy lift. And Brooklyn is going to go, "That's what she did on the dance floor.
That's what my mom did to me.
That's my mother in the air.
That's my mother."
War
flashbacks.
They're going
to go viral. You're going to see them everywhere. And one thing that I think we won't get into dance scoring because it's really complicated. It's really confusing. It's confusing for. Maybe it's not confusing for Adam and Sarah. It's really confusing
Listen
for me.
Listen to the rules episode if you want to think about scoring. Mm-hmm.
But
if
there
you
is
think
one
about, if you want to get confused.
You want to watch me get confused. But there's one thing I really feel that Lila and Lewis have to their advantage, and it's that they make themselves undeniable. And it's because of how they get the audience into a performance. That impacts judging, hard stop, because judges are humans too. And when you have an entire arena clapping along to your music, it feels like a party. Like, audience engagement impacts scores. It's mm-hmm. just going to happen that way. And so when you have an arena on their feet for your Scottish free dance, because you've just, you know, entertained for 4 minutes. Yeah. It's really hard to say, that was okay.
Engaging an audience is a skill. And when one of your scores is performance, you are, like, and you've gotten the audience to your feet, how do you not give a good performance score?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
So look forward to that.
And he's been threatening to wear a kilt all year. So
we don't know if it's going to happen, but it better.
Yeah.
I want to see some calves.
Legs.
Please.
I want to see legs.
I want to see legs.
Kneecaps.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
So the one other thing I will say about Lila and Lewis, which Adam alluded to, and this is my segue, is that they were the bronze medalists at the World Championships last year. So again, if we were to take the assumption that Laurence and Guillaume are injected into first or second place, then Lila and Lewis would then exist in fourth place. But because they were able to leapfrog Piper and Paul at the Grand Prix final, now it feels very up in the air, right? And then a month after the Grand Prix final, Lila and Lewis go to Europeans, where Laurence and Guillaume are the winners. And in theory, if we're following the rankings of the season, Lila and Lewis should be second. But as Adam said, they made a mistake and they got third to a team that we are going to talk about now from Italy, Charlene Guignard and Marco Fabbri. If Piper and Paul are a bridesmaid team, this team is too. Because mm-hmm. they are super strong skaters. Charlene and Marco have been around forever. This will be their fourth Olympics together. They have really stayed the course. They have stayed the course more than anyone. They were at one point second at Italian nationals for 8 consecutive years. They were behind.
Okay.
Yes. Second for 8 years in a row. And they were always in the shadow of a domestic rival. And then, you know, when Ice Dance sort of reset after Beijing, they found themselves on the world podium a couple times, in 2023 and 2024. But then last year in 25, the British team edged them out for the podium spot, and Charlene and Marco were not pleased. Similar to how Adam said that most people feel that Piper and Paul are stronger foundational skaters than Lila and Lewis, people also feel that about Charlene and Marco, that they are stronger foundational skaters than Lila and Lewis. But like we said, Lila and Lewis have found other ways to, you know, improve their scores and lean into their strengths. But Charlene and Marco are, they're sort of pure skaters. You know what I mean? And they are going to be fan favorites here, which I don't want to rule out as a factor, because what Ashley's talking about with the crowd reaction making a difference in your performance, this crowd is going to be with them 100%. They train, for sure. They live and train in Milan. Their home rink is actually the practice rink that's being used for the Olympics. And their coach is an Italian skating legend, Barbara Fusar-Poli, who is an Olympic medalist for Italy herself in ice dance. She's in our intro video. She's probably more famous for actually her 6th place finish at the 2006 Olympics in Torino, because her partner did drop her out of a lift and she did stare him down at center ice in front of the entire world. So she's
for 45
a 45
minutes.
Yes. It was
iconic.
They had incredible. To zam her off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bring out the hook.
Yeah. So she's a legend. She's very beloved in the figure skating world, and she's their coach. So if they are also not a Montreal team. So when we talk about this top 5, we're talking about 3 teams from Montreal and 2 teams not from Montreal. And, you know, I think that's a question too, in sort of the overall landscape, is does the ISU / the judges, do they allow for a podium sweep by one school? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So Charlene and
Technically,
Marco.
Technically, it's not something they should be considering, but it is an interesting question to pose.
I mean,
right, exactly.
Again, there's a lot of things that seem to come into consideration in ice dance that probably shouldn't be considered. Mm-hmm. I will say that. So they get 4th at Worlds last year, and then they start this season off getting really low scores. And we were kind of all they might not even be in the medal conversation at this point. But they, you know, they made some adjustments to their programs. They're doing Backstreet Boys in the rhythm dance, which is a little bit of a weird fit on them, but their free dance is really beautiful. And they showed up at Europeans and just skated really strong and were right there to take advantage of a mistake by the team that was in front of them. And so now they have a little momentum from a 2nd place finish at Europeans to go into this home Olympics. And so between these 3 teams, I don't know. I don't know.
No,
what
you don't
we're looking
know.
At, honestly.
No, there is. I mean, in my eyes, Piper and Paul are my favorites to be in the top three.
I think that that is who I think will deserve it the most if all these teams skate clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I think, based on the information that we have from this season, that's what's going to happen. I agree that that's what deserves to happen, but I, like, my spidey senses say it's going to go to Lila and Lewis.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. See, I'm feeling like Lila and Lewis have the, like, kind of the worst chance almost, like, of the three, which is, yeah. And I
okay, so then who do you think it's going to be?
I mean, I think it's Piper and Paul or Charlene and Marco, and I don't know how to split the hairs of who that will be. I really don't. Like,
interesting.
You're going to have to be, like, in the building on the panel to know.
On the panel to decide.
Yeah. I would have to become a judge at the Olympics to know what's going to happen.
Yes.
But yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. And which is going to make for a really great competition to watch. But, I also will say that, Charlene and Marco are a longtime couple off the ice, and they do have a pet chinchilla named Molly.
That's so important to know.
Any judges that are listening to this, if that sways you at all.
Mm-hmm. One way or the other. Just,
right. Could go either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I love when chinchillas have human names.
Mm-hmm. I love when they find homes.
Yeah. Homes that are not a coat that figure skating commentators are wearing.
Uh-huh. True.
Yeah. So I think of the five of these teams, two of them are off the ice couples, Maddie and Evan and Charlene and Marco, and the other three are not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's so true.
And I think, like, it's sort of, I always think of, I used to work closely with Tanith Belbin, who was an Olympic medalist in ice dance. And she would a lot of times put, like, teams in a framework of, like, the way, like, they would be at a movie theater. And so I think, like, a lot of times I end up thinking, like, you know, a team like Lila and Lewis is like a Fast and Furious franchise movie. Huge crowd pleaser kind of thing. Maddie and Evan are like a rom-com. Also kind of a blockbuster feel. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, whatever. Pick your rom-com. And then, like, Laurence and Guillaume and Piper and Paul are more like your indie films. You know what I mean?
Like, they're like nouveau.
You know, but they're like the award-winning indie films that kind of, like, break through, that are like, you know, right. Anora won Best Picture last year. Like, that's a good example. And I think of Charlene and Marco as being like a black and white movie because they have this sort of, like, old fashioned style to them, like the way that they skate together. And I'm not calling them old. It's about the style. Like, they are one of the older teams,
classic.
But they have, yeah, like, very much like a classic style. So that's my top five movies.
No, I love that. I agree that Piper and Paul, especially, it's like when the Oscars come out and you have this goal of watching all of the nominated films before it comes out. It never happens. But they're the films where you're like, where do I even watch that?
100%. Yeah,
Piper and Paul are best foreign film.
Yeah, best. 100%. Yes. Like, Piper and Paul are like a French movie, Anatomy of a Fall or something.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Not a fall. I shouldn't have said that.
Of a land.
Of a land.
Anatomy of a land.
Oh, yeah.
Of a woman.
Yeah. Laurence and Guillaume are also a little foreign filmish, but they're like Parasite, where there's kind of a dark energy in the movie, but it still wins Best Picture.
Or they're, you know? Like, you know, they're skating to The Whale, which Brandon Fraser basically masturbates himself to death, but then they portray that in a completely different way.
Is
which
that
is
true?
French.
Oh my God, I don't know anything about The Whale.
It's,
and I heard Brandon Fraser and was thinking of our Brandon Fraser, and I thought you were just talking about, I was automatically like, why are you making a joke like this?
End the episode.
Yeah, to be clear, the actor is Brendan Fraser, not to be confused with Brandon Fraser, the figure skater. Mm-hmm. And Adam, I did not know that that happened in that movie, and I didn't need to know it.
Well,
spoiler alert.
You couldn't tell from the way that they were interpreting their music.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. That's crazy.
Yeah. Music is gorgeous, though.
Do we have any?
I have some others that are like honorable mentions, top 10 contenders, essentially.
Yes. Okay.
This is a, I mean, Ice Dance is like a crowded field of great skaters. So I think other skaters that we will see hit the top 10, Lapareva Brousseau from France.
Mm-hmm. Love
also,
them.
Also a yeah. Montreal team. The king and queen of the void.
They very sort of, voidy.
I feel like they sort of, even though there's another French team above them, I feel like this team sort of defines being French, even though she is Russian originally.
Yes.
Right. She's so French that even though she's Russian,
she's French.
I have no question about her. She's French in her heart.
Yeah.
In her essence.
Completely. Yeah. They're really unique. They kind of sort of perfectly toe the line between weird and beautiful, which is hard to do. Yeah.
Yes.
So, they're skating to Bjork and that free dance. I mean, the second I heard Bjork, I'm like,
also, is there a rhythm dance that they did originally do in red costumes?
Which was amazing. That was amazing when they were in red saying,
on
I'm
white,
blue.
Skating to blue. The French yeah, flag.
Exactly. Very good, Ashley.
Thank you. Uh-huh. I think they're just like, they're Bjork personified as a team.
Yeah.
Weird, beautiful, alien.
Totally.
They also are responsible for giving us a moment unlike any we've ever seen in figure skating ever at a gala performance in which it was fully produced. Sunglasses were involved.
In the country of Lithuania was producing. They were
skating
to
Satisfaction.
Yeah. If you do anything after watching this, go find that program. It's the best program you'll ever see, ever.
No, you're completely right.
Go watch that program, light up a good old cigarette, kick your feet up, watch it again.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lithuania, Allison Reed, Salulis Ambrulevičius also should finish in the top 10. Also a Montreal team. Allison is from a big American skating family who has... They have skated, her and her siblings skated all over the world for different countries. They have like a very weird, voidy free dance and a very fun, too sexy for my shirt rhythm dance. They got fifth at the Grand Prix final this year, but I expect that they would be below that at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So, Marjorie Lajoie, Zachary Laga from Canada, one of my very favorite teams personally. They are the younger Canadians that are the second place Canadian team behind Piper and Paul. I think they honestly could have been on a different trajectory, like to potentially a medal path here had things gone a little bit differently. But I think they will be in medal contention at the next Olympics. So they're so talented. They've skated together for like 15 years, despite them being pretty young. They've skated together since like 2011. They won the world junior title like 7 years ago. So they've been good for a long time. They're both really artistic. I mean,
dance is very much just like do your time. And this team is a prime example of like, really, it feels like they could be on this podium.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen because they haven't done their time. And that is dance for you.
Do your time. And Ashley does mean serve time in jail.
Yeah, serve time in jail.
Or the military.
Or military.
Yeah.
Those are the two times you can serve.
Yeah. You have to pick which one, though.
Yeah. But they have a absolutely stunning free dance. It's one of my favorite programs of the whole season.
It's phenomenal.
So they're great. And then I want to talk about the two other American teams that are going behind Chalk and Bates. So Emily Azingis and Vadim Kolesnik they finished second at U.S. Championships and are likely to be the second finisher amongst the three American teams. The U.S. has a really strong, really strong ice dance program. There are three other teams that could have come and done pretty well at the Olympics. So, but Emilia and Vadim are a relatively new team. Emilia started ice dance when they teamed up in 2022. She was a single skater before that. Can one of you like describe how, like, imagine skating ice dance for like 3 years after doing single skating your whole life?
No.
Is it possible?
Yes. In this amount of time, I am completely blown away. And the only reason why I feel like this is possible is because she must have just been meant to be a dancer her entire life. And honestly, her experience as a single skater makes them as a team really stand out, because there's a lot of dynamic, acrobatic rotations, things like that, where she already has that body feel and that body awareness, but she's been able to translate that into rotational lifts at an insanely quick rate. She has improved her partnering. I actively am trying to not get close to people on the ice.
Well, yeah, because when you try, they break your neck. They try to break your neck.
Yeah.
No, they spin you from your neck. Her neck wasn't broken. It was just pushed into the direction.
It was suspended.
Yeah, suspended. Thank you.
My entire body weight. No, what she has done to become a successful dancer is just kind of insane. You don't see this turnaround and success onto a Olympic team that quickly.
Well, and especially like, you know, partnering with someone who Vadim has been a great ice dancer for a really long time. He had a previous partner who he's really good with in juniors. And so like he's been good for a long time. So Emmy's ability to like match him so quickly is amazing.
And I would even say that, like, there's a sensibility of, like, a freestyle skater, a single skater, where it's, like, you can be a bit reckless or, like, powerful, aggressive. And she brings that to the team. And I think, like, where he's helped her with her partnering and her ice dance skill, she's also kind of brought this edge to the team where it is, she has this look of like this very delicate like ice dancer, but the way that they skate and perform is incredibly powerful. It's very aggressive. Like they are hauling ass out there. And so,
you know what I'm also curious about? So they are skating with a famed ice dance coach, Igor Spielbond, who also basically helped raise Maddie Chalk. And I'm not saying that she skates just like Maddie Chalk, but Maddie is known for her acrobatics on the ice, known for being kind of like the presence of the team. And I feel like when you have a coach that really helped foster that in an athlete, and then you take that recipe and put it on another athlete that might already kind of innately have that feel, that's one of the reasons why we've seen her rise so quickly and shine as fast as she has.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so to that point, Emily and Vadim, one of the few teams not in Montreal. They train in Michigan. Emily is from Michigan, and Vadim is from Ukraine, and most of his family is still there. It's a cool story because I think several of his family members are going to be able to come to the games from Ukraine, which will be great. And they are a couple off the ice as well.
Cuties.
Other Americans, Christina Carrera, Anthony Ponomarenko. They are a Montreal team that trains closer to Toronto at one of the satellite Montreal schools.
The overflow school.
Yeah. Christina and Anthony have skated together for a long time also. Christina is Canadian originally, and Anthony is American by way of Soviet ice dance royalty. His parents are Marina Klimova and Sergei Ponomarenko, who won 3 Olympic medals at 3 straight Olympics, bronze, silver, gold in 92. And his mom, Marina, is the one who originally thought he and Christina would make a good match. And so he's royalty in the sport a little bit, but, you know, he has not been to the Olympics himself yet. So this will be their debut as a team. She worked to get her citizenship in the U.S. for a really long time and finally got it this fall. Same with Vadim Kolesnik, who we were just talking about. And, like, they're great. They're really – Ashley I feel like you should talk about this, like the theatrics of this team.
Oh my God, I love this team so much. I love them. Their free dance, the way that Adam feels about Piper and Paul's Starry, Starry Night, I feel that way about Perfume. So they actually are bringing back an old program. They've had a little bit of program drama this season, haven't really found the right fit. And we talked with one of their coaches, Maddie Hubble, a couple weeks ago, and she was saying that the characters that they were portraying weren't like dark and creepy enough. And so they weren't really connecting to the music. And so they're skating to a story about a serial killer.
Mm-hmm. Aw.
The Olympic dream, alive and well.
That's the dream.
But oh my God, the way that Christina moves is just so expensive. It's so like, her hand movement, she looks like she's floating, but at the same time, there's raw power behind what she's doing. Anthony's great too. I'm just watching Christina the entire time. And that's the point. Like they really try and highlight how she can be this like sultry athlete, but at the same time, this delicate flower. So I think they strike a really awesome artistic balance. Mm-hmm. And they've lost a little bit of momentum this last season just because their programs haven't quite felt like they fit. But they went back to this free dance at U.S. Championships, and specifically for me, obviously.
Yeah, but I think
they dedicated it to me.
Yeah, they did. I heard cry. That. Yeah.
And they kind of stopped the whole competition, and they like asked for a microphone, and they said, "We have something to say. Where's Ashley Wagner?"
Oh, she's up there.
Yeah. It's and they said, shh. We'd like to dedicate this performance to right. you.
Yeah.
And then, but to your point, Ashley, I think that like now after US Championships, these are the best two programs that they could have going mm-hmm. into an Olympics. These encapsulate who they are as like skaters and performers. I think the best.
Not people though.
No, they're not people. They're performers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
no serial killers amongst the group. Mm-hmm. Last we checked.
I mean, yeah, well, you know, Maddie, their coach, was telling us that the previous program that they had, Christina was like, this isn't creepy enough for me. Like, they mm-hmm. do want to perform. Like, some skaters really want to do something that feels personal to them or, like, something that relates to their own journeys, like a Piper and Paul, that what they're doing is like that. Christina and Anthony want to, like, tell you a story. You know, they want
to,
like,
die.
Put on characters and kill each other.
Mm-hmm. They want
to murder. That's why we love them.
That's what I would, if I were a dancer, I would absolutely be part of the team where someone's always dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it'd be you.
Let's see.
Ned, get suspended from the neck.
Yeah, exactly. Two more teams that I think will factor into the top 10. So basically what I've done is we talked through the top five, and then, I mean, you guys can tell me if you think I missed someone or you think one of these is not going to be in the mix. But I've identified like seven teams that will be in the mix for the next five spots. So, Diana Davis and Gleb Smolkin from Georgia are the next ones on my list. Say it with me. They train in Montreal. They are originally both Russian. They skate for Georgia now. Diana is the daughter of Eteri Tutberidze, who is somewhat of an infamous primarily singles women's coach. She's coached several disciplines, but she coached basically a large crop of Russian women who dominated the sport for almost a decade before the Russians got banned. So, and was in, you know, she was involved in the doping scandal in 2022. That was, you know, her skater. So if you recognize her, that's who she is, but she doesn't coach her daughter. But that's her mom. Gleb's dad, did you guys know Gleb's dad is an actor in Russia?
No.
Yeah.
No.
He has like a fully fleshed out IMDb page.
Wow, famous.
But yeah, Diana and Gleb are a married couple. They, I think, have really found their stride with great material this season. Gleb in particular is a very talented skater. Not that Diana isn't, but sometimes you see a little imbalance in the teams. I think Gleb is really the leader of this team.
Did you say they're married?
They mm-hmm. are married.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. They're married.
And also, earlier this year, Diana shared on Instagram like the struggles that she's had with her hearing mm-hmm. and that she is like partially deaf and that she can't hear out of one ear. Is that correct?
I think it's I don't know exactly, but she has trouble hearing certain frequencies. She like can't hear at all. Like she was saying that like if a refrigerator is beeping because it's open, she can't hear that at all. And then like it totally depends on who she's talking to. If she's like used to someone's conversational style, like she was saying, like when she's on the phone with her mom, she can understand her mom, right? But it can be harder. Like if she goes into a mixed zone at a competition, she has to sort of read people's lips because she's not used to like the frequency of their voices. And for music, like when they, you know, the music that they use for their programs, she can't really make out lyrics. So they have to make sure everything that they cue is not about lyrics because she has trouble making those out. But she can hear like the beats. So she mm-hmm. can yeah. like go with the tempo still. But yeah, it's, I'm glad you brought that up, Adam, because it is so fascinating that she is doing such a sound-based sport.
Yes.
And has so much trouble hearing.
I thought it was like amazing the way that she like shared the story and like talked about basically how a lot some people were like, oh, she's stupid because she wasn't understanding what people were saying, or like she's not listening to me, or she's not hearing, or like people around her would like help her figure things out because she couldn't hear and she kept it to herself for a long time because she was like embarrassed. But I thought it was amazing for her to share that. And like you said, like it's just it's amazing that she's been this successful in a sport that is like you kind of have to hear
very
what's
sound
going
based
on. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're gonna be in this, I think, right around the top 10 mix. As will Olivia Smart and Tim Deke, Spain's finest ice dancers from Great Britain and Germany. I was like going through this preview document and I was like, there are not many teams on here where both people are from the country for whom they are skating.
Oh no.
No.
Very few. Maddie and Evan, Piper and Paul. I'm running out of teams.
Piper's American.
You're right. Not them. Maddie and Evan. Right. Marjorie and Zach, maybe is who I meant. Like, yes. They're both Canadian.
Mm-hmm. The Finns.
Yeah. Yeah, Verse, but I just, Luce like, and... we haven't even brought them up. You know what I mean? Like, we've gone through, like, 10 teams.
Yeah, no, there's really not a lot.
So Olivia Smart and Tim Deke are a new team this quad. Olivia used to, they both obviously had previous partners they skated with. So they have really, like, been able to make big strides quickly in this quad by, I feel like, emphasizing things that they are really good at. So like they do a free dance to Dune that we all are very fond of, some more than others. But the way that Adam was saying about Piper and Paul's free dance, where he feels like he can't breathe for the whole 4 minutes because he's watching. That's how I feel about this Dune free dance.
It's amazing.
It's like utilizes a lot of quiet moments to really draw you in. And they do these super acrobatic things, like some of the crazy things that Olivia is doing in this program.
She's doing Pilates.
She is. She's teaching a Zumba class on the ice. Yeah, and then they're great, like, portrayers of characters, both of them. Yeah. I think Ashley likes to say that Olivia looks famous.
She looks famous. She does. Yeah. You're going to don't look her up and then watch the dance event. You'll find her. You're going to find her so fast. She did take maybe a season off, and she skated on a famous British ice dancing competitive TV show and was one of the, like, professionals. And I think she was a fabulous performer before, but since that time that she spent more on like the production world of figure skating, yes, her performance quality has only increased. She just like gets it in a completely different way and takes the time to bring that skill to competitive ice. And so she stands out in a big way because of it.
Completely true. That, like, yeah, her work working on a television show, like, amplified her performance in the way that she's, like, able to just kind of zone in on certain parts of the arena. She knows what works. And that Dune, yeah, program, like I said, she's doing Pilates. She's doing, like, the Tracy Anderson method. She is in a hot room. She's wearing gold bracelets. And yeah, she is doing acrobatics.
Lycra everywhere.
Yeah. It's $1,000 a month. It's, yeah, not
but
cheese.
Your body will never look better.
No, it's the, yeah, Tracy Anderson method. That is what she's doing.
Yeah, so Olivia and Tim, British, German, Spanish, say it with me. They train in Montreal. Okay.
She's also the flag bearer. Fe
puede.
Quebecois. I had like four very quick honorable mentions who no longer, I think, are in maybe the top 10 conversation. But Ashley brought up the Finnish team, Turkula and Versluis, who we all really enjoy, who are very like creative with their movements. They make such cool images and shapes on the ice. Mm-hmm. And they have been injured quite a bit this season, so they've lost a lot of momentum. But we're just happy to get to see them compete. There are two sets of Czech siblings, mm-hmm, representing Czechia, the Tashlers and the Mrazeks, who are, how do we describe the Czech siblings?
Okay, Mrazeks, they skate to music that's AI, and then the Tashlers skate to the Matrix, and true, that's, mm-hmm, the most important thing to know about them in this moment.
Yeah.
AI, Matrix.
Both
about
teams very
AI.
Yeah, both teams very powerful and to like a kind of bull in a china shop degree.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, yeah, throwing themselves out there, especially the Mrazeks.
Where... yeah, dragging your sister around on the ice.
Suspending, exactly, her from her neck.
And then I wrote this team down partially for Ashley's benefit because I know she loves them, Hannah Lim and Ye Kwon from South
them.
Korea.
Mm, yeah, they're who, so
she's
great.
She's so flexible, and they're going to do a couple of just like fucking stunning lifts. Her flexibility, yeah, really shines. They are able to just like the shapes that people make are very important for the viewing experience. Great shapes.
Yeah, and mm-hmm, they have this sort of really polished quality about them, I feel like, mm-hmm, where everything is just kind of neat and tidy and buttoned up.
Yeah, where do they train?
I'm so glad you asked. Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my favorite prefixture
to the Montreal
in South
Olympics.
Korea.
Yeah, and this episode is sponsored by...
Montreal. The Ice Dance, mm-hmm, Academy of Montreal.
Yeah. Visit Canada.
Exactly. is there anything else that I'm through my outline. So is there anything else that either of you want to bring up about the Ice Dance event that we haven't talked about?
The rhythm dance is themed. And so you are going to be hearing more 90s pop music than you heard in the 90s.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear Ricky Martin probably more than once.
A lot. A, yeah, lot. And you're, mm-hmm, going to be like, wait, didn't someone just skate to this? They did. Because I think the dancers also kind of were limited in their search of, yeah, 90s music. They kind of did Google 90s music, and then like the first 20 songs that popped up, that's kind of what everyone picked from.
Well, you know, I had friends that reached out to me and they were like, why is everybody kind of skating to the same music? Well, I don't know. And two, that there is sort of a tempo that the songs need to live within. So it's, they have the theme, but the music needs to be within a certain tempo because there are in that program, like required steps that need to be done to a certain tempo. So at that point, it does limit the skaters a little bit to like, what's a song that's recognizable? What's something that's fun? What's something that we like? But also,
and
that's
what's the BPM?
Right. Because I'm like, why aren't they using this? Why aren't they using this song? And I'm listing a bunch, and it's like, they are limited because they need to find something at a certain and specific tempo.
Yeah.
So there is sort of a reason.
Yeah. But it does start to feel a little bit repetitive sometimes.
Right. When Ricky Martin's playing again, you're like, I haven't heard him this much in a really long time.
You're going to go to a Ricky Martin concert is what's going to happen. Greatest hits.
It'll be the greatest hit because it's usually the same Ricky Martin song over and over.
You're going to hear La Vida Loca.
Yeah. Si se puede.
Quebecois.
That is also, I learned that from the Cheetah Girls. So,
si se puede. Did you not learn that from, what's that
from
cheerleading
Dora?
Movie? Gotta Kick It Up?
What?
The Disney Channel original movie, Gotta Kick It Up, where they.
I was talking about Dora the Explorer.
I think America Ferrera is the star of that. And so she's doing a si se puede chant with her cheerleading squad.
That must be it.
Right.
Love that. Yeah, that I must was like, be Cheetah it. Girls are probably not
Cheetah
pulling
Girls
out a si se puede.
Two is set in Barcelona, but I don't think that's. I think you're thinking of the cheerleading movie.
I think I might be. Wow, that's embarrassing.
Don't be embarrassed.
It's enlightening.
We're a team.
Yeah, we are a team. We're a Spanish team.
From
Montreal. From Montreal.
Also, one more little shout out to the Spanish team, Olivia Smart and Tim Deke. Olivia's been doing this kind of really fun and great YouTube series all throughout the season. Mm-hmm. So we suggest you watch Glitter and Gold before this, that's on Netflix, that follows the first three teams that we talked about. And then Olivia Smart on her YouTube channel has been doing a series kind of following her journey throughout this whole Olympic season, which is, she did a great job and it's really fascinating. And she's, I mean, we love her and she's totally like open and honest about like everything, all the struggles and the ups and downs. So I suggest you watch that too.
Check that out too.
Because that will also help you just kind of gain perspective of like where these skaters are and it'll be helpful to paint a picture for you and to learn about and feel like more connected to everybody and to Spain.
Just also assume any coach that you see at the boards is like a famous ice dancer.
Yes. The coaches
like there's
going to
be Olympic
part,
gold medalists at the boards. That's just kind of crazy to me.
Many of the most of the coaches are Olympians and more than that, like Olympic medalists. So, and if you see a woman who seems like she is dressed like and styled like Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada, that is Marie-France Dupré, who is one of the coaches that runs the Montreal school. Mm-hmm. And I do really enjoy that she grows more and more like Miranda Priestly every time I see her.
That's such a good call. She also has been getting a lot of attention lately for her clapping.
It's very like Nicole Kidman when she wouldn't want to bang her rings together.
Yes.
Yeah, it's that.
That's totally
someone
what
said it
is.
Looks like a little bit like a little lizard clapping. But enjoy.
Enjoy.
One of the best events for a reason.
My favorite event.
Sarah's absolute favorite.
It is that these are the best performers for sure. Best performers. Like this is, it's amazing skating.
Yeah. And this is very much like one where you like the scoring's complicated, but in a way you don't have to think as hard as a viewer if you're not really into the scoring, like you, because they all are essentially doing the same elements. It's not like single skating where they have choices of the different jumps they want to do. Like they are all doing the same thing. So you can kind of, as a viewer, just decide which one you like the best.
Use your smooth brain when you're watching this.
That's the only kind of brain I have.
Brain. Yeah. No ridges. I got them removed.
Yeah.
Sanded
steamed
down.
Out.
Steamed out. Ashley's got steamed out when I was, what was it? Suspending her from her neck.
Yeah, when my circulation was cut off to my brain stem.
The brain went.
That's when all the ridges disappeared.
Completely smooth. That polished.
It's true. All right. Well, on that note, Sarah, do we have dance dates?
Oh, yes, we do. Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. We do have dance dates. The rhythm dance is on February 10th. February 9th. And the free dance is on February 11th, I believe. Is that right?
I think so. Hold
on. I'm making things up because I didn't pull it up in time and then Ashley quizzed me. And I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm the problem. I'm so sorry.
I don't know. So.
Yes, on the 9th. It's 7:20 Italian time.
The 9th PM. and then the 11th?
You were correct. Yes, and that is 7:30 p.m. Italian time as well.
That was so scary for me. It's like, I don't know.
The name of the arena is Ice Skating Arena. So,
well, the Olympics are always like this, where like they can't use any like sponsor names that most arenas normally have, so they just are like arena,
ice skating arena.
Yeah,
yeah. So February, the
snow globe, the igloo.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, February 9th, February 11th. That's it.
Be there, be square.
So, thanks everyone. Thanks, Ashley.
Enjoy the competition. Thanks. We'll see you on the other side. And Sarah, thank you so much for an amazing explanation. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.